Good morning. How you doing, boys and girls? I'm doing a little better.
It's definitely morning.
Yeah, been to see a specialist, and he's had me all through testing. I find out Tuesday what the testing's all about. And if I get reasonably lucky, I get to go on a, what do they call that? When they're trying to get an FDA drug passed or procedure.
Trials?
Yeah, I get on them. Trials to. Hopefully I get on that trials and I can get fixed and it doesn't cost me anything. Thanks to our dear president. My health insurance is non-existent at this point. So anyway, we're going to keep plugging along with all that. Fish and Frank here in the chair, as you might have guessed. And I got Captain Kale in the chair across from me. And Kale's been on the water most of last week. And about time to find out what's going on with the fishing. So what's up out there in the wide world of fish and fishing?
Well, I think the fishing's a lot better than I expected. After the tropical rainstorm came through and we had a week straight of rain and we've got a 9-foot wall of water coming down the Peace River at us. I expected that to hit a big reset button out there. And it did, but it didn't make the changes that I thought it would.
Yeah, I'm going on fishandfranks.com right now, and I just clicked the weather button, trying to get on the Peace River one. The bottom of the page, it says river flow and lake levels. As we've talked about plenty of times, when the Peace River's over 2 feet in Arcadia, 11 foot is flood stage in Arcadia, and it crested out at 11.5, and it's now falling. We're down to just a little below 11 feet. So that's about a 9-foot wall of water still coming at us. We've got 3,730 cubic feet of water per second coming down. So that's a lot. That's a lot of water. But it's supposed to happen this time of year. We're supposed to have mega high volumes in the river. It's what helps kind of flush out the harbor, keep stuff, you know.
Oh, absolutely. It is expected. It
kills the saltwater bacteria buildup because all the freshwater saltwater bacteria doesn't live in freshwater, and thereby freshwater bacteria, once the rains quit, is killed by the saltwater.
Right.
So that's actually not a bad thing.
Not at all. It is a good thing.
Part of the cleansing ritual every year of Charlotte Harbor.
I kind of wish it would pace itself a little better, but I mean, it doesn't need to do it for a week straight.
Well, I can tell you, it's done nothing for business here.
Poor weather rock hasn't had a chance to dry off.
Yeah, I got to tell you, this is definitely a more slow, moderate times, but. With that, what have you been catching this week out in the harbor?
We've been catching a lot of trout. We talked about it during our fishing seminars that we do, that it's like wintertime out there in a lot of places. Trout, pompano, flounder.
And freely. With all this fresh water, doesn't that kind of seem a little weird to you that we'd have so many trout and the pompano and all the rest of that stuff? It just seems strange to me, and I don't.
It doesn't seem strange to me because of the freshwater. Those fish are a little bit more tolerant. What's surprising me is the numbers that they're here in this time of year. Those are our wintertime fish, and we have better trout numbers out there now than we did through the winter.
Yeah, no.
And big trout. We're catching a lot of overslot trout.
Right.
We caught a 15.5-inch silver trout.
That's a nice size silver trout.
That's a big silver trout.
It doesn't sound like much, but really, when you're out there on silver trout, that's a good size.
Well, considering most of the silver trout that you're catching are 6 to 8 inches, yeah, it's a nice change.
Yeah, and it's kind of hard to imagine how you can take a fish like a silver trout, and good eating fish by all accounts, and but just not quite what we would think of in big fish category.
No, not at all. The pompano are a little surprising. They're not as freshwater tolerant as most other fish. And the numbers that I'm seeing are very, very surprising. We came around Mangrove Point, and we had a school of about 50 of them sky out of the water behind the boat.
Really?
Yeah, and they were anywhere from 6 to 15 inches. I mean, I saw the little guys first and thought, well, that's a school of skipjacks. Those aren't skipjacks. It was odd to see that. Usually you'll kick one or two of them out from behind your boat running up and down the east side or the west side. And
right.
You know, to have 50 of them do it is different, let alone doing it in the middle of summer.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on with all that. Like I say, I'm just kind of at a loss for what's happening. I've been thinking.
I will give you my standard year-long answer.
Go ahead.
El Nino.
Well, I don't understand how El Nino brings fish in during the warmer weather when they should be here in the colder weather. And then lots of rain and fresh water, and pompano should be moving out. They should be, you know, scattered to the winds and the Gulf and everything. But they're here. Now, I've been hearing redfish up around the 41 Bridge. I've been hearing scattered reports, but more bigger fish.
There were
harder to find a slot fish.
There were four tournament boats fishing the 41 Bridge when I went over this morning at about 7:30.
Really?
Yeah.
Wonder what's up. So obviously word's out that you don't have to go down to the bottom of the harbor to find a big
No, that redfish. That word gets out quick in that band, guys, anyways. Where do you find legal redfish? That's been a tough one. I'm going to bury myself as far back as I can possibly go on the east side, or way back up in those feeder creeks on the west side.
Now, to me, I can see doing it on the incoming tide, but once that outgoing tide hits, I think those fish are vacating those creeks and stuff as quick as they can. I just can't see them.
I think they do on the west side. I think those guys buried back in the east side, I think they're staying there on the outgoing tide. I'm not sure, that's pure speculation. You know, that outgoing tide is when we usually start leaving from back there in the east side, unless you want to spend the night there. And there's a lot of mosquitoes back there.
Oh, yeah, that's nothing good is going to happen there.
But it very well could be flushing out, but where are they going?
I don't know.
You know, I'm not seeing them out on the flats. And that's kind of what's making me think they're still back there, buried in. I'm not seeing them on the outsides of the bars, which is kind of rare to see our local redfish outside the bars, because that's where all the big fish that eat them live.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
You know, those big breeders come in schools and stay outside the bars because they've got numbers to protect themselves.
Right.
And our little ones and twos don't like to venture out there into no man's land.
No. No, I can't see that being a real possibility. I just, you know, I'd like to be really excited about the fishing and going, wow, you got to get out there and get it. But with all this weird weather we're having, it's tough.
Well, it makes it hard. We rely on what we did last year and what we did the year before that to kind of help us pattern our fish and establish our rule book for what we're doing and where we're going.
Right.
And that's pretty much been thrown out the window, and it's made fishing tough since wintertime. I mean, everybody was complaining about fish in the wintertime.
And I'm not sure what the, you know, it's so strange because everybody's saying there's no trout, there's no redfish, there's none of this, there's none of that. And then all of a sudden everything comes back, and you would think they would be on the reports that, wow, the fishing's actually really good right now, because it's really not bad.
It isn't bad, and I honestly think it is on the good side. I just think we're having to work so hard to find them and repattern them that hurts the shock and awe of what it should be. The only guys I don't hear complaining are the tarpon guys.
Now,
that being said, they're not throwing parades either. So tarpon's kind of running a happy medium right now.
Well, we've got nice incoming tides from, 8 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning until, 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So, that's about perfect for the next couple of days.
Yeah. And they like,
and tomorrow.
They like all this water coming down the rivers.
Okay.
Because it's just flushing all kinds of stuff for them to eat out.
Now,
we're starting to see the tilapia. Here
and
there.
That's what I was going to ask you about.
Not like we did the year, where it was just a massive run of them. You're seeing ones and twos out there on the river. So I don't know if that's going to get better or not. Seeing a lot of blue crabs swimming around out there on the surface of the water.
They got to be heading out towards the pass. They're not happy with this fresh water, the blue crabs.
They've all been headed south.
Yeah,
They've all been heading south.
They're all heading out towards salt water at this point.
But
they like the fresh water up to a point, and then they go, okay, time to get out of here.
Right, and we're coming up on the full moon, and that has a bearing on the crabs. Some of them are going to molt during that full moon, and they have to have that salt water to harden their shell, correct? I mean, it will harden in salt water, fresh water, but it takes longer.
Right.
And now they're that much more vulnerable for that much longer of a period.
All right. Well, let's do a couple of places here and see. Have you heard anything up in the Peace River?
I'm hearing, I wouldn't say good reports of redfish. I'm hearing reports of redfish. They're not knocking them dead up there. They are catching them ones and twos here and there. The good news is they're quality fish. It's not a bunch of rats that have hung back out there. It seems to be bigger established fish that are being caught.
More
up
slot
there.
Limit fish.
Slot limit above slot.
Yeah, you're looking for a slot limit fish from 41 up the river, all the way up by the Navigator. Sporadic reports. It's not like you're going to go have the best day of fishing
no,
you ever had.
Not by any means.
But you're going to catch. You can catch your slot fish up there.
Yeah, and now, days like today, when you're getting rainstorms rolling through and 15 mile an hour winds out of the west, the river starts looking better and better.
Yeah, yeah. The one thing about the river, it's always safe up there. Now, going on, I was just going to check the radar because we've got so many little storms building up out in the Gulf, and today
little storms, but you can't trust them
because they seem to hit as soon as they hit shore, they just blow up. I mean, I'm watching one do it right now. We're just got some reds and yellows coming at us, but what's weird is north and south of us is pretty clear.
I don't know if we have a funnel out there or what, but it always seems to be that we're the ones that take it. Always. All that stuff always seems to funnel right
year,
up the Peace River.
Yeah, this year it's
been always
that
done that.
No, it's just...
Hurricane Charlie.
Yeah, okay, well, we've had a couple of examples, but, looking at the broad spectrum radar, it's literally kind of... There must be a little bit of a front right below us kind of keeping that
pushing
rain
it up,
kind of coming right across from there. But, I don't know. It's all... interesting. I mean, the way things happen. I've been really dying to get out. I haven't been able to get out because, this whole Meniere's disease with the ear stuff and being seasick. I stood on a boat the other day, and that wasn't fun.
If you're getting seasick on land,
the
boat is probably not the best place to be.
Yeah, standing in the store, I'm kind of seasick.
It doesn't work, even though it's your ear. We've got all these new sound-canceling headphones and insides of vehicles that send the exact opposite tones to make your ears cancel them out so you can't hear them. It doesn't work with waves.
No.
It works with sound waves, not with water waves.
Yeah, water waves tend to be a little rough on me. I'm really looking forward to getting back out. I've been working on the boat a little bit, trying to get prep for the day I can get back out there. Things are getting a little better in that aspect, but there is a lot of tarpon up here in the mornings from what I'm hearing. So if you're like me and you really can't get in a boat, you can literally go down right off the north end of the bridge or south end of the bridge in the mornings. There's tarpon there over by Bayshore Pier, off the backside of Fisherman's Village. There's tarpon around that you can catch from land right
there's
now.
There's been quite a few in the upper harbor, around the 41 bridge, and like you said, Bayshore. And
are you seeing the plastic bobber brigade, the kayakers out there around the bridges at all in the morning?
No.
You would think those kayakers, I mean, because that's, you know, the Shaw Harbor sleigh ride, hook a 150-pound tarpon from a boat that weighs 70 pounds, you know.
I've done it.
Yeah.
Once. It's not as fun as you think it is.
Well, you got to do it once.
Yeah, and I didn't even catch the fish. I was just helping the other guy, and when he said it was my turn, nah, that didn't look fun. Let's go home. You know, but they've been out there early in the morning, sunrise, till whenever they want to quit feeding. That could be 2 minutes after sunrise. Could be 2 hours.
You're like me. All of a sudden, your throat's all closing up. I was at the meeting the other night and just all of a sudden couldn't talk, sneezing and coughing and everything.
Oh yeah.
So
I knew it was going to be a fun day out there. I knew the wind had changed. I woke up with snot all over my face, couldn't breathe, eyes watering. So I knew it was going to be a wonderful day.
Yeah. So. Getting back into the wide world, have you heard any reports about Placida at all? No, it's just good answers.
Placida has been quiet. And the reason I had to pause for that is it's kind of surprising. You would expect Placida, Boca Grande, you'd expect those places to be going nuts with the amount of fresh water we have coming down.
Right.
You would expect a lot of our pelagic fish that come up into the harbor in the summertime, your cobia, your Spanish mackerel, stuff like that, to be a little bit more centered out there. I think the one problem has been a lack of food. There hasn't been a lot of bait for them out there. We're starting to get more and more bait in that area and in the intercoastal and Boca Grande, so I think that fishing is going to get better.
Okay. Now, you've been almost like on the side where the fishing isn't very good. You're not like, you know, jumping up going, oh yeah, come on, hire me, we're going to go out and catch a lot of fish. So you've been on charters, you've been catching fish, so why all the gloom and doom?
Because the quality could be better. The tarpon have just now moved to the 41 bridge. They've been offshore and a little bit further out and along the beaches because of that storm.
Right.
And that storm happened during a full moon where they want to go out there and breed anyways. a lot of that fresh water has pushed a lot of our sharks out. The little guys are still here. The little bulls, the little black tips, they're a lot more tolerant of the fresh water. But the bigger fish have seemed to move out. Which is frustrating because there's a ton of thread fins out there in the harbor for them.
Okay.
Lots of big schools of big thread fins.
All right.
And usually we're hitting those schools this time of year, and there's just nothing there. The one positive side is the triple tail.
Well, let's go with the positive thing. What's up with the triple tail?
We're seeing triple tail, a lot of triple tail, around any of the crab trap buoys. There's a couple strings down the west side of the harbor. We're seeing a lot of them on the buoys in the intercoastal waterway. The surprising one is how many of them are up the Myakka River. The buoys up on the Myakka River are probably more consistent than anywhere else, which is, I find, completely strange.
Okay.
I mean, it's you're usually not going to associate a triple tail with a whole ton of fresh water. And they don't seem to care. They're up there.
The only problem that I have with it is you literally almost have to blind cast at almost every buoy. Because with the water so dark,
you can't see them.
You can't see them. So you're literally going from one buoy, making a couple of casts at it, go to the next buoy, making a couple of casts at it. And it's a lot more work than normal.
Yes, but it's work that's paying off. And it's if you can get past the whole, I shouldn't be doing this. I'm blind casting the buoys for a saltwater fish and freshwater. Everything in your brain is screaming, this is wrong.
Okay.
Go do it. It'll pay off. And that one just, for some strange reason, blows my mind.
Well, no, I get it. Because, like you say, everything's wrong. It shouldn't be possible. But there's actually enough of them there where you're going to have a good day. and it is kind of interesting. Now, speaking of that, with that area, down the west side of the harbor, I know those creeks are getting more and more loaded with snook every day. A lot of snook over there, and we're seeing actually a few redfish with all that. There's some redfish over there. What's your opinion with the snook? How's that west side snook fishing going to progress?
The west side snook fishing is going to get better and better. We're going to start seeing more and more numbers of bigger snook. They're coming into the end of their breed, so they're going to start making their way home. Snook fishing is going to get better everywhere. Better may be the wrong word. More consistent.
Okay.
More consistent. Back where they should be.
More consistent is better.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can go down south along the beaches and set the world on fire with snook, and you can't do it up here because they're down there breeding. But once they come back here...
June, this is pretty much the end of the spawn.
Sure. I mean,
the very last... there's a few holdouts that were late to the party, but we've seen a lot of big empty fish coming back. A few guys have called me over the week and told me about big hollow snook they've caught.
Oh, yeah.
So they've all spawned out.
You catch a good 30-40-inch female, and...
You put your fingers by their belly, and you just go...
Yeah,
you
it wraps
right
around
up
your
to the,
hand.
Yeah, go right up to the backbone.
Yep, it's like sticking your hand in a bowl of Jell-O.
Yeah, so that's what we're talking about by that. When once a fish is spawned, there's so much egg or sperm or whatever is in that fish.
Yep.
And then once they spawn, they're hollow. So... This is not the time of year when people go out to look for records. You know?
No, but it is a good time to look for snook because they're hollow.
Right.
And they're going to fill that hole.
Yeah, they're looking to eat.
They want
to
eat.
Yeah, they're looking to eat. Are you doing better dead bait, live bait, shrimp, cut bait? What's going on with the bait? If you're going to go on your east side, what are you looking to take?
Everything. Everything's been working well. I want to take a little bit of everything. I'm going to take some shrimp, definitely, because you're going to be hard-pressed to find decent bait up here. You can pretty much forget about greenbacks.
Gotcha.
And the thread fins are tough. The thread fins are, number one, they're going to be way too big. You can find some good inshore-sized thread fins, but you've really got to hunt for them. And you've really got to watch that water pattern that they make on the surface. And that's tough to do when we're looking at 10, 15 mile an hour winds in the morning.
It's the waves keeping stuff down. You're pretty much looking for them with a depth finder.
Which is tough.
And
which is tough.
Which is double tough. I remember going out and I would head off west of marker one and just let that wind drift me across watching. And as soon as I saw something, I'd have the net loaded, holding it, see something, and then throw off the side of the boat, hoping to just get a shot at something.
And it's tough because a lot of us throw our cast nets off the front of the boat. And where's our transducer?
Off the back
of the boat. In the back of the boat. You're already 24 feet off of those fish. And what I've been doing is drifting backwards and throwing the net off the front and staying on the trolling motor to kind of keep the boat...
Drifting in backwards.
Drifting backwards. And then
you get...
My client yells and sees the big red lump on the screen, and then I throw the net. It's hard enough to get threadies in deep water as it is.
And the only other problem you have, once you get them out of that deep water, they're down by the bottom in what's left of the salt, and then you bring them up, and you're putting them in straight out fresh water.
Yes.
And you really have to be careful where you go.
It's and not just careful. It's not a day that you black out the live well.
No,
you get what you get on that first throw, and you get moving.
Now,
that's
what
one
about
of the main
cut bait?
Cut bait's been working well.
So even if they die, you've still got decent bait.
Even if they die, you still have decent bait. But that's what I've been doing. Get the bait, go like heck over to the east side, because we're getting that nice incoming tide in the morning. Helps keep your bait alive. If they die, you can still chunk them out. There's redfish out there that will eat it, snapper out there that will eat it. You've got bonnethead sharks
will
pick it up.
Are you doing any taking some, cutting them into pieces, dicing it up for chum and casting that out, or
absolutely.
Just throwing the bait?
Absolutely. I will set some out there for chum, and I don't set it far. I'll take a handful and just kind of underarm throw it around the boat. I'm not tossing it way out there. Remember, the water's murky. You can't see anything. If you're tossing it way out from your boat, how do you know anything's eating it? throw it close to the boat, you can watch those bonnet heads and those small black tips come right up to the boat where you can see them.
Okay. One of the things I used to do is I used, you know, use one of the bats, but I'd put some in the bat, cast it, and I'd want to toss it out 20 to 30 feet away from the boat to give me more of an area where I would fish that's a little away from my boat. Now, I have done it both ways, and I'm not sure which way I like it the best. Sometimes I want to chum an area away from the boat so they don't get spooked by the boat coming too close, but sometimes getting them up close to the boat so as I'm reeling in, I would get hit on the way in.
It's the weird thing is nothing seems to be spooked by the boat. We're catching a lot of bonnet heads straight down in 3 feet of water underneath the boat. A lot of black tips coming up to the boat. We're catching trout on the side of the boat. So it's not seeming to affect the fish at all.
All right,
I don't know if it's because they're that hungry, they don't care, or the water's that murky.
All right, so if you're going to go out, you're thinking about going out today, if the weather clears up, and which it may or may not, but you would head over to the east side. What would you expect to catch today?
I would expect to catch, without a doubt, some trout. Definitely some
black
tips.
Now, how are you going to catch the trout?
Trout, they've been cooperating very, very well. It really hasn't mattered what you throw. Dead shrimp, live shrimp under a popping cork or a bobber, live or even almost half dead. Thread fins are working very well for your bigger trout. Artificials are working very well. I've been running suspending twitch baits because there's just so much grass on top of the water right now that it's too hard to run top water. Just about anything. Tandem jigs are working very well as usual. You're kind of hard to find something that's not working on them.
Now, once you are you looking for them out closer to the bar or back by the islands?
You've got to move around. They're not consistent. Usually you can catch them the whole way across the flats there.
Right.
But they're seeming to split themselves off from the ladyfish.
So what you want to do is just drift until you find them.
Drift until you find them. If you're catching ladyfish in close, go out near the bar. If you're catching ladyfish out by the bar, go in closer to the islands. They're seeming to want to stay away from the ladyfish. And I think that's just because the ladyfish are out competing them for food.
Gotcha. All right. Now, you've caught some trout. What would be next on your list?
Next on my list, the bonnet heads and the black tips, the juvenile black tips.
Any kind of special hooks or leader or anything you're using for them?
I've been using one of two things. We have those bleeding wire pre-rigged steel hooks with a red hook on it.
The AFWs.
Yeah, the AFW is a nice, good J hook on it that we pinch the barb down, of course. Or I've just been using regular old J hooks with that AFW knotable steel leader.
I like the knotable leader.
I love that stuff.
Because it seems to hold up reasonably well. But if you can tie a uni knot, you can put it right on just like you would a fluorocarbon leader.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that you look at and the first time you use it, why didn't we have this 20 years ago?
Yeah, well,
I look at it, and not from a standpoint of fishing down here, but back home.
Yeah.
This stuff would have been great for muskie and pike.
Yeah, can you imagine being able to pike fish with that stuff?
Yeah, it especially in the wintertime.
Yeah.
You know, where was this stuff?
Easy to put on. I mean, a uni knot is the best way to go, but you can do other knots with it.
You've got to be careful with the uni knot. And I don't know if this is just because of the spider wire Invisibraid. You've got to be careful how you tighten down that spider wire. If you tighten it too much as you're tying a double uni, it won't allow that steel leader to move through. It locks down on that coating on the steel leader.
All right, so what are you doing?
Not tightening it down as tight. Don't wrench it tight and then tie the other half.
You just wait until you get to the very
last bit of it. Wait until you get to the very last bit of it before you cramp it real down, real tight with your knot.
Gotcha. All right. So we've done some trout and we've caught a few sharks. anything left on there to look for?
Well, usually at about that time, we're coming up almost to the peak of the high tide or the beginning of the outgoing. That's usually when I'm going to go hit the mangroves. You've got good water underneath the mangroves, plenty of room for fish, and that's usually when we're going in and hitting the mangroves for snook and the redfish, and maybe even some snapper.
Now, are you finding them way up underneath the trees or out in front?
They're not burying themselves. They're not sticking out inside that trough. They're just right there underneath where you can get to them with a decent cast.
By the drip edge.
Yeah, right by the drip edge. The overcast days have helped with that. It's not sunny, so they don't need to bury themselves way back underneath there. They've been taking shrimp. They've been taking cut ladyfish. They've been taking cut up thread fins. And they've been taking cut up crabs.
Now, are you just anchoring in a spot, likely spot, and fishing it? Or are you moving up and down a shoreline? If you're anchoring, are you trying to toss a little bit of chum there to maybe make the spot a little better, or are you just throwing the baits?
Just throwing the baits. I haven't really had to chum at all. I'll usually anchor up. Unless I've got one or two people on the boat, if I've got more than two, I'm probably going to anchor up. Just because casting becomes a nightmare when you're constantly moving like
that.
Right, yeah. I don't give them much time. If you're not catching something within a couple minutes at that spot, I'm going to move on. May not go far, but I'm definitely going to move.
Okay. So, once you've got a few redfish or a couple of snook and stuff like that, you know, you've pretty much had a decent day with the trout and all that, and then on the way home, checking for pompano as you ride along the bar.
Definitely. You know, run up and down that bar. Make sure you have somebody looking backwards behind you. Don't empty out your shrimp just because you're heading home.
Now,
save some, just in case.
The one thing that is kind of critical in that is if you do skip the pompano, turn the boat out away from the bar, and then take the throttle and ease it back real, real slow. And what you want to create is like you're going off into the distance. If you just pull back to stop, you're going to spook everything.
Yep.
But if you can just turn out, get out towards open water, ease the throttle down, just really slowly go from speed down in and then hit neutral. And once you kill the motor, then you come back with the trolling motor or the wind, however you want to get back to them, either drifting with the wind or with the trolling motor to get back into the school.
I run with my finger over the man overboard button. And if the guy looking backwards says something, you hit the man overboard button. That way you know where they're at.
Gotcha. All right.
You may have to delete a lot of waypoints when you get home, but oh well. If you catch a couple good eating pompano, it's worth it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. All right. Well, anything else that you want to talk about?
Like I said, there's a lot of ladyfish out there. I've been hearing a lot of people ask, where's the ladyfish? Where's the ladyfish? These sides full of ladyfish. Guys are looking for them for bait. Guys are looking for them. It's summer vacation now, so a lot of the grandkids are down here to visit. They just want to take the grandkids out and have fun.
Yeah.
Good place to go. Between the trout, the ladyfish, and the sharks, I think the east side is a good place to go to have a decently productive day without putting a whole lot of work into it if you don't want to.
Well, there you go. All right, then. Well, this is Fish and Frank and Captain Kale in the chair across from me. And kind of an unusual fishing report. I think the dreary days make it a little harder to get really excited about anything.
It does. I hate the rain. I really do.
Oh, I don't know. Sometimes I'm one of those people that find storms invigorating. I mean, I love standing out in a storm. The thunder, the lightning, and the wind and all that. I used to love being on a boat in it.
This is why you've been struck by lightning twice and I haven't.
Yeah.
Like I said, I've got a completely rational fear of lightning.
And I keep getting hit, but I'm still here. So, anyway. But thank you, boys and girls, for listening. You guys have a nice, safe weekend. We're going to try and come back with some more fishing reports a little later in the day. And Fish and Frank, Captain Kale, see you later.